Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season six. My goodness. Episode three, the first of our bi-weekly shows. The show later in the week will be episode four, if you're keeping track at home. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Did you all have a great weekend? We'll go left to right as I'm looking. So I'll start with Steph.
Pass. Go on to the next one.
Dustin, I know you didn't really have the best of weekends. Dustin?
Yeah, had a good weekend. As far as things going, it was an average weekend, which those are getting back more routine now that we're back to school or back to work and out of the holidays. So kind of getting back in the momentum of everything. But I got a new position at work, so things are a little different, and I like the difference. So it's of a new year for me.
Darkest hour.
A little bit more of everything. A little bit more money, a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more stuff, but that's good, and a little less work for me. That just means I'm getting older. I'm getting those older people positions.
Not as much Dale Gribbling.
No, more of now. Just shoot. Now I just get to. I get to take my time a little bit during the day, and I don't have to come home so exhausted. So that's a plus in my book.
Nice.
Cool.
Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, I just watch football.
Yeah, so did I, but it was a good weekend for football because the Buffalo Bills are going to the AFC Championship game for the first time since 1994.
Congrats, Tim.
Yeah, I had so much to do with it. I appreciate you acknowledging that. If it weren't for me, Josh Allen never would have won. No, it's just exciting. You know, I have that dread that Buffalo Bills fans have carried with them if they were alive during the four Super Bowl loss in a row run. But it's pretty exciting. I didn't really get too screamy, except for one or two things the other night, and I was outside, so my poor wife didn't have to hear me scream. And then the rest of the weekend, I just didn't really give a shit. I did want to see the Browns win, and it looked like they were going to pull it off, but they just couldn't. They just couldn't do it. What is his name? Chad Henne came out of nowhere and sealed the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And but boy, the two major quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, and it both got taken out with concussions. You had Patrick Mahomes, and then the other guy. What's his name? For the Ravens, the quarterback for the Ravens. What is his name? I don't want to say the wrong name because if I say the wrong name, I'll get in a lot of trouble. So what, you know what I'm going to do? Because I should know, but I don't. I'm going to go to Google and I'm going to type in Ravens quarterback.
Who's the guy that has the last name Tuck Tuck or something like that?
I don't know, but Lamar Jackson is his name.
Oh, okay.
His name is not Lamar Tuck Tuck.
Somebody with the last name Tuck Tuck or something like that. But how about old guy, Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
Yeah. Still killing it. His old team, piece of shit, garbage ball. And look at him pulling up Tampa Bay. They were on the come up last year, but then you throw his old ass in the mix and he's just...
Well, let's talk about what really got Tampa Bay to where they are, and that's their defense.
Aw, but come on. You know he's a leader.
Well, yeah, but he didn't throw for 200 yards, I don't believe.
Well, I feel like just having him on the team elevates the entire thing.
That's true. I mean, their receivers have been for years. Who's Jameis Winston? Yuck. So anyway, that's the end of football talk. Go Bills, go Bills, go Bills, and go Green Bay. I don't know. I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan, not a big Green Bay fan. Steph, I would assume you hate the Green Bay Packers because you're...
No, I don't. That was my brother's team. Loved Green Bay. So it's always my failsafe. It's NFC North, which I always kind of pull for. Whoever ekes it out, I want NFC North to do something, even if it's the Bears, for God's sakes. But... Vikings are the least, but Green Bay I will always pull for because the Lions are never going to do shit. So
they might someday. You never know. Never give up faith. So one of the coolest things happened since our last program, speaking of what we're talking to Steph, but we end the show every week with Steph talking about Barkville Dog Rescue. And thanks to Jeff. Well, why don't you explain what happened?
You know, I play HQ trivia every night. Have been since they came back. And every night they donate, they match the prize winning money to a charity or they give $0.05 per player to a charity. And so I nominated Steph's Barkville Dog Rescue, and they picked him.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was too cool. Mm-hmm. And the lady sent me an email, and she said, we just need a 30-second video, just a, you know, vertical, nothing in the background, no music, nothing, just you talking about the rescue and, you know, whatever verbiage you guys want us to read about the rescue. And so I reached out to my founder, and I'm like, oh, can you do this? She was like, fuck no, I don't do videos. You have to do this. And I said, oh my God, my hair looks like complete ass. My stylist moved my appointment and blah, 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 blah. And she was like, I don't care. So anyway, I did it in my car, and they ended up donating $3,000 to Barkville.
That's pretty cool.
And they played this video to 56,000 people with my hair looking like complete crap. And in the chat, I saw somebody go, I live in my car.
Oh,
talking about me because I did the video in my car.
You didn't see the doggy Carol Baskins comment?
No. What'd they say?
That's all they said. And then it scrolled over.
I didn't see that part.
And I didn't bring it up the other day because I was like, oh, that might piss her off. But it was actually,
no.
But you know what, though? Majority of the chat, it was hearts and this is awesome. And I've noticed that because I played every night after that, except for one. And the chat isn't full of dickheads. I mean, I don't see them. Jeff, you play every night. I see most people are very supportive of all the charities.
I have an arch enemy on there, this dude, AMDG2112, who just begs for obscure 80s trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Every night, just over and over and over, trying to show how cool he is by naming all these obscure 80s bands. So I hate him.
He has a nemesis.
I have a nemesis. So tell us how that money will impact Barkville.
Well, you know, we have about 100 dogs in the program right now, and just preventatives alone, you know, heartworm prevention and flea stuff, it's over $3,600 a month.
Wow.
Just to keep all of our animals on preventatives. So that will almost cover, close to cover our first, like a whole month of preventatives. And that is a huge deal to us right now, especially since, you know, I think for the last few years on the show, I would always promote our Valentine's Gala.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an auction and you dress up and you come and whatever. And that's when we make the bulk of our nut for the year is at that gala.
Right.
Usually $35,000 is what we'll pull in. Well, no gala because of cocksucking COVID. So this was a big deal. We really needed it. And thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for doing the video. You did a great job.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh, you would tell me I was good even if it was garbage.
If you want to play HQ, sign up and use my code JEFFKEYZ when you sign up.
Yeah, and you can watch Jeff. You can, if you're not really smart on a question, Jeff usually answers quick. And then sometimes he gets them wrong, but not often.
And I've been playing too. I've been playing whenever I get the alert that it's whatever, I've been going on there. It's fun.
It is fun.
I don't win a lot. I've won 111 times in the history of HQ.
Really?
Yeah.
So what does that amount to monetarily? Like $100?
Yeah, about $100.
That's not bad. That's not bad. If you sign up to play that VIP, can you win more money?
Yeah. I don't know if you get paid faster either. I haven't done it because it's $20.
Yeah, I'm not going to throw that away. I'd rather buy extra luck. Yeah.
100 people split, you know, however many are left out of 100 people split the VIP money, $1,500 or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not good at math.
I'm assuming that VIP stuff is why we got the amount that we got.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason they're making any money at HQ.
Yeah, that VIP stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just skip waiting until the end of the show? Why don't you go ahead and do all the plugs for Barkville now?
As usual, we need fosters so badly. So if you have extra space, you know, we can provide you with a crate. We can provide you with anything. If you can just house a dog for us, for a short period of time, at least we have a pretty good turnaround on our dogs. They promote them very well. And you usually only have a foster for maybe a month, 6 weeks tops, usually, unless they're a little bit more challenging and maybe it's a couple months, but either way, our lady Leslie Rosner, she's the one who fields all the applications and she is a badass and probably says the F word more than anybody I've ever met in my entire life. But
more than Kim?
More than Kim. Yeah. Oh. She is a purveyor of the F word, but She fields applications like an assassin. She can tell right away if somebody's a dirtbag or if they're legit. And so she doesn't send you just nonsense, you know, goose chases. Anybody she sends you are generally good adopters. So cool. Barkville is very supportive of everybody. If you feel like donating, if you got a couple ducats, if you got a little stimulus money burning a hole in your pocket, you know, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. We could use anything you got. We'll take it.
Awesome. Thank you, Steph. And again, good job, Jeff. So let's do what we're going to do. What did we watch and what are our staff picks? Jeff, why don't you go first?
Did everybody watch WandaVision?
I did.
Started this week. Yes. I watched both of them. I think it's going to be a lot more going on than these first two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We're like kind of like a parody of the Dick Van Dyke Show and Bewitched.
Right.
But I think it's going to turn into a whole bunch more crazy things.
Are they trapped someplace? Like Vision got killed in the last Avengers movie, right? Endgame or whatever.
Well, he got killed in Infinity War.
Yeah. Infinity War. So he wasn't in Endgame, huh?
Mm-mm.
Shows you what I remember. All right. So they're together. Is she with him or is he with her? Something's going on. They're trapped someplace because someone's trying to communicate with them through television or the whatever, the radio, shit like that.
I think it's the sword. It obviously is who has them, which is the policing of sentient weapons is what they call them. I guess it was an off. It was what came after the Sokovia Accord, from Avengers 2. Mm-hmm. It was the laws that were put down to try to regulate the superheroes because they went with no regulation. So I think that they have her, and they're keeping her in like a, I think it's like a medically induced coma for. And this is going on in her mind. The only way that she's able to process everything and they're able to view it through what looks like a system of television shows.
Right.
That's what I can gather just from those communications that somebody's trying to contact her, trying to get to her because she's lost her. If you notice, she's lost her Slavic accent that she had.
Right.
And you know, certain things like Vision doesn't have the mind stone in his forehead anymore.
Okay.
But she was created from the mind stone. Her powers were given to her with those experiments at the first of the second Avengers movie. And so I think she's using the mind stone to try to bring Vision back because she can basically manifest it, you know, and give him the ability to come back. And
is the reason Marvel in these films didn't make her who she really is in canon and in the comic books, she and her brother Quicksilver are children of Magneto.
Right. Yeah. They stopped that storyline
because they didn't have the rights to the X-Men, or did they do it just because it's hard to explain?
I think it was probably started with the fact that they didn't have the rights to the X-Men and they wanted a way to, you know, bring the story in. And then after acquiring now the rights to the X-Men, I think they're trying to retcon. Ah. This is their way of retconning it in because this show is supposed to connect also with the second Doctor Strange movie. Uh-huh. And that's supposed to introduce between the two, the X-Men coming into the universe. So,
all right. Well, yeah. What did everybody liked it? I guess Steph, did you dig it?
No.
No. Okay. Tell us why.
Not a fan of Bewitched and Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah. You just hate 50s and 60s sitcoms.
Yeah, I just didn't care.
Was it boring? Did it bore
yes,
you?
Yes, completely. I was bored out of my skull, and I don't know what that says about me. I don't have a whole lot of TV taste. I don't know. I mean, I guess you're supposed to like old shit. I don't like anything old. I hate old stuff.
Even old people.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Black and white stuff.
I just don't like it. I get what they were going. Oh, it was well done and very kitschy. And yes, it was whatever. I just didn't give a shit.
Right.
They didn't do anything for me.
Not giving a shit at all.
Oh, there's some Hydra shit going on too. Like the commercials.
Yeah. The commercials were funny, I thought.
But the commercials show like Hydra logos. hidden within them.
And Stark yeah. stuff, Stark toaster.
I saw that, the Stark toaster. And I like kind of sprinkling color in. But all right, so there's three people who like it and one that doesn't. And so
now we're not allowed to watch it anymore because Steph said.
That's what
not I, even. That's why I didn't say a freaking word. I didn't say anything. I wasn't going to shit on your all's parade.
You can shit on anything you like.
The third episode's supposed to tie everything together because that was what was given to all the critics were the first three episodes. And we only have seen the first two. So at the end of the next one, it's really kind of supposed to open up. So it may change your mind a little bit.
Good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes so far for those first mm-hmm. two.
What is third one going to be, like a Partridge Family type situation? Yeah,
well, it's all color
I watched the newest episode of Mandalorian that came out. It's called News of the World with Tom Hanks playing the Mandalorian.
Okay.
And instead of Grogu, they get baby Cloris Leachman.
Is that a good movie?
Yeah, it was really good. Hmm. I enjoyed it.
I can't watch Tom Cruise movies anymore, or Tom Hanks movies anymore because of his ties to Comet Ping Pong and the Children Eaters. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say it's because he's a pedophile cannibal.
Yeah, that. No, I don't. No, I want to see this movie. I just sometimes when he's in a role like that, does he play an asshole or a bad guy?
He's kind of a darker character. He was, I think he was a Confederate officer.
Okay.
And now he just goes around from town to town and reads like the newspaper to people for a nickel a piece. For people that can't read, I guess. That's what it seems like.
Can I get a money pit, Tom Hanks? Is that ever going to happen? Like, before he dies, can we get one bachelor party Tom
Hanks? Nope. He's a serious actor.
He's a serious actor now.
Yeah. Ever since he got that 700th Oscar of his a couple years ago, he's a complete tool.
I thought that was pretty good. I'm still watching The Watch. I watched both episodes of Tiger. Did you guys watch both episodes?
Damn, I haven't watched that yet.
I haven't seen it.
First one was just like all about his youth and his dad and how he was raised to be the messiah of golf.
Yeah.
And the second one's all about the downfall with the ladies.
The hoes and different area codes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm going to go bang all these chicks.
I didn't know a bunch of stuff though. Like his caddy and his dad were both using him to pick up chicks. And like banging them in a Winnebago on the golf course.
Really? When yeah. kid or what?
Yeah, all throughout his entire career until I guess his dad got too sick to keep doing it.
Well, good for his dad getting on that pussy train.
I wanted to watch it, but I was like you, Jeff. I wanted to wait till they were both.
Yeah, that's what I did. I waited till they both came out. So I watched the first one yesterday and then the second one I watched today.
What else?
But it's definitely good. You should watch them.
I heard it's well done.
I watched that Chris Rock Total Blackout, which was like the extended version of the Tambourine, which was pretty good on Netflix.
Funny.
Did you just add in stuff?
I guess they edited his last special. Cause this one, he barely mentions the Tambourine. So I guess he had a whole bunch of other material from that special that he put into this one. It was pretty good. I watched all of the new season of Disenchantment on Netflix. That's the Middle Ages cartoon from The Simpsons and Futurama creators. Season 3, Part A came out, I think, on Friday. I binged it all. I love it.
Tried that first couple episodes, and when it came out, I never got into it.
Yeah, you got to go back, man, because it's great. All your Billy West and all the voices from Futurama and Simpsons and stuff are on there.
Matt Berry's in there too, isn't he?
Yeah, Matt Berry plays a pig.
God, I love
he's hilarious.
Yeah,
yeah.
I tried again.
Servant came back on Apple TV. I watched the first one of the new season. Still boring as ever. I hate watching that show.
It's M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong show.
I'm a Ding Dong. So far, it hasn't been worth it. Whole first season. And my staff pick, Snowpiercer, comes back in about a week on the 25th of January.
Yeah, Bran Stark, or not Bran, but who's the main guy?
Bean is coming, joining the season.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll go next. I did also watched WandaVision 1 and 2. I liked it. I thought it was creative. I don't typically enjoy the Marvel stuff so much anymore, but I thought this was okay and entertaining, to say the least. Let's see. Still in the Below Deck, and then I watched the after show hosted by Andy Cohen, where ex-cast members sit there and make snarky comments about the current season. It's a nice guilty pleasure to sit and watch with the wife. Still addicted to Forge and Fire. Now I'm still on season 6 because there's 700 episodes every season, and I'm watching the series where the Marines and the Army and the Air Force go against.
Oh, that one's a good one.
Each other, and then they have the three all compete. I haven't made it that far yet, but I just finished with the Marines, so now I'm ready to watch. You know, the three ones. They don't have the Space Force or Coast Guard, as far as I know.
No, I don't think the Space Force. There is an episode where they make an astronaut knife.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do have to recreate the knife.
It kills upside down.
Yeah. It will kill in space.
Got a big rubber cork on the end of it.
Yeah.
In space, no one can hear you kill.
That's right. No one can hear you kill. It will cut.
So satisfying. Isn't it satisfying?
It is. It's so, and all the people are decent people. I like them. It's a fun show to tune at. And, you know, somebody made a joke. I don't know if it was on our show or if it was on the radio show, but what are they going to do? Blowing glass. Well, there's a show on Netflix where they blow glass, and it's a competitive show just like this one. So I might check that out. I forget the name of it, but Glass Blowers.
Oh, they're not making bongs, though. That was my joke.
Yeah, that's right.
It's called fire. Blow My Bong.
Mm-hmm. Blow My Bong, bitch.
But it's like Kicks. They're like, blow my bong. That's the...
Yeah. What else? I listened to a couple of podcasts. I started getting into the No Agenda podcast again. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's Adam Curry, who I guess is most famous for being the big hair metal VJ on MTV.
Probably more famous now for being the godfather of podcasting.
Right. He is the podfather, and he and John C. Dvorak, they host this show together and have for years. They basically break down media stories and play audio from them. And if you're tired of all the insanity from coming at you from all different places, it's a nice place to just sit and listen and get somebody else's opinion, or just allowing you to come to your own conclusion about things. It's nice, condensed, twice a week. And one thing I like about them is you can learn a lot about the podcasting business. They are 100% listener supported. They don't have ads. They just do deductions. They do donations. And then in the middle of their show, they read the names of the donors, and they give them little sound bite rewards that they ask for. We're not going to do that because they're the only ones who do it, and frankly, they do it well. But it is a good show if you're into current topics without, like I said, all the spin. The other podcast I never miss because it's my favorite, and I just love listening to these two guys talk to each other, is Talking Sopranos. The new one this week is Ray Abruzzo or whatever. He played Little Carmine, but last week's was Jerry Adler, who played Hesh, and that Hesh being one of the most lovable characters from The Sopranos. Really good episode, and they had just started season 4, so there's 3 seasons to go. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Caitlin and I watched The Night Stalker what was his name?
Well, Ramirez.
Yeah, Richard Ramirez. Night Stalker. Pretty gruesome.
All 4 episodes?
No, I haven't made it yet, but I know that people are upset because it's really graphic.
No, it's not.
Well, I guess, did you watch all 4?
Yeah.
Don't they show victims and blood and shit like that?
I mean, they do, but get out of here. They X out people's faces and stuff. Like, you don't see. People are such...
They X out bullet wounds. Like, they'll show a whole body. There'll be blood all over it, but the bullet wound will have a tiny little... X mark over the hole, which I thought was wild.
Did you think it was overkill though, Dustin?
No, I thought the editing was overkill, but that's, I mean, it's a documentary, so what are you gonna do? You don't have much to work with, but man, right. It'll give you vertigo trying to keep up with some of the editing.
That's true.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, the way he got caught was fucking hilarious.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. There was a Night Stalker podcast that I listened to, and I loved it. But they went deeper in this Netflix documentary that I really liked how they illustrated the oddity of the fact that he mixed in just random child kidnappings and molestations, but he wouldn't kill the kids.
Yeah.
He killed some kids, but sometimes just for fun, he would just kidnap a kid, molest him, and then put them back.
What a piece.
And that to me is very odd. I find him to be one of the most fascinating serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
He's very weird. I don't know. You can't really pin him down.
Yeah, he didn't have a real MO. I mean, he didn't have a normal MO or a normal profile. Yeah. Mm-mm.
He's no Syracuse Sam, that's for sure.
Not even. No, Syracuse, mm-hmm. You knew what you were getting. A hammer to the head, you're an Italian, you're dead.
Just don't go to Burger King. We're going to get, speaking of that, we got to get working on that soon. Stay tuned. Let's see, where was I? Okay, well, getting caught up on the Manhunt Deadly Games on Netflix. That's about Eric Robert Rudolph and subsequently Richard Jewell, who I believe was represented or defended by Lynn Wood. Do you guys know who Lynn Wood is?
She's the crazy Trump attorney. Trump
guy.
But whatever.
He is a crazy Trump. Now, this guy was a lifelong Democrat. And I don't know what happened to his brain. Because he's the nut job who was tweeting that Mike Pence is a demon and he's going to jail for molesting. Okay, dude, chill the fuck out. Chill, chill, chill.
Leave Mike Pence alone. He's just a baked potato.
I know. I just want to go back to Indiana and get away from this fucking nut. Oh, my God. But yeah, it's very low budget. That show.
That's weird for Netflix.
I know. Well, this show never really. I mean, this series, that whole thing. Jack Houston plays Eric Robert Rudolph, by the way, and
I love him.
Vicious and mean as fuck in this role. Anyway, moving on. I'm rambling. I think I have one more thing to talk about. I watched, and this will be my one of my stat picks, the Netflix documentary Crack: Cocaine Corruption and Conspiracy. It's an almost 2-hour documentary about the history of crack, where it came from, how it grew out of the cocaine culture of the 70s into the 80s. And of course you have the Reagan era trying to fight it. And it goes to Bush trying to fight it. And then you go to Clinton and and there are real people who were dealers and crackheads and crack hoes and all that shit, how it really affected the lives of people throughout the entire arc of crack. I mean, I'm sure it's still around. I guess
it's one of those shows where you just want to kick back, smoke a little crack, and
forget about the world.
Yeah. But there's some stuff in there that I didn't know as far as, the penalties for having that kind of shit. So, like getting arrested. If you were African-American and you got busted with crack in the 90s, your sentence was harsher than if you were like a rich white dude on Wall Street who got busted with a pound of coke. And, and how unfair that was. Hopefully that's all been changed, but it was a cool documentary. I recommend it highly. And my other staff pick is this band that my friend English Nick Parsons, coworker friend, radio guy, turned me on to. There's this British, I don't want to say they're hip hop because they're not. They got like a DJ that plays the music and they just talk like this, blah, 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 called Sleaford Mods, Sleaford Mods. And they have this cool song called Mork and Mindy. And then just went from there and I listened to a bunch of their shit. So that's my stuff. Who wants to go?
I watched WandaVision, of course. Where I talked about it. Night Stalker. I enjoy it. And they definitely put money into this one. I mean, the production value is crazy on it, but it's it was cool. I like how they're finding every little person who's become a celebrity that was connected with the case, like the one lady who was standing next to him when he bought the AC/DC hat and then conveniently left it at a crime scene like a week later. I thought that was kind of interesting. But it's good. I've only watched the first one, so I gotta finish that. Didn't get really a chance to watch that much more. My staff pick is going to be a movie called Red Dot, It's a Swedish movie. It comes out on Netflix at the beginning of February. It's about a couple that goes on a retreat in the wilderness in Sweden, camping in the snow. And in the middle of the night, a laser dot appears on their tent and then on them. And they're trying to find out who's tracking them. You know, it's my kind of movie.
Turns out it's just a kid with a laser pointer.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. It would be like, what was that movie? They, I think, where they're getting in, they're in a house, and these people are trying to get in the house, and it freaks these people out. And then at the very end of it, you see they like go through the woods and then get on a school bus and then go to school. It was all little kids the whole time. Yeah, it's something I'm looking forward to. And Swedish movies, Norwegian movies, all the Scandinavian stuff, they really have a great film group over there that makes some excellent movies. And I'm glad those are kind of getting pushed over, ported over through the Netflix, instead of the Indian stuff, which, you know, Bollywood stuff to me has always been just too
it's
much.
It's like elaborate music.
It's not metal. It's not metal. The Norwegians, they know metal.
They do.
Yeah. That's all I had this week.
I got, watch the WandaVision like you guys. The Night Stalker, I liked it. I loved all the 80s shit about the Night Stalker, and they made it very, the production quality of it was very 80s, which was pretty cool. And I watched Outside the Wire. It's a movie on Netflix with Anthony Mackie. He plays like a cyborg. And I think his name's Damson Idris, our guy from Snowfall. He plays one of the other leads. It's a pretty cool movie. It's very modern and a lot of action, a lot of crazy ass like mech cops that are, robots and shit. So it's kind of cool. And I watched Very Scary People, which is a show on the HLN network. And they only do all the big baddies. They only do the heavy hitters like BTK and Jeffrey Dahmer and all that stuff. They're all like 2-part series. And it's pretty good. And T-Bore to the Rescue. It's like, it's not even real. I feel like it's a Jim Carrey character, but it's this Hungarian guy on the Fido network, and he's a dog trainer. And I can't really, he does this whole like Van Hammersley way of, you just have to watch
it.
T-Bore to the Rescue. I was a doctor in Hungary, and then I came to America, and I found out my degree was no good, so I became a runway model, and then I was a dog walker, and then I found out I had connection with dog, and so now I train dog.
Okay.
It's crazy. But anyway, it's a cool show. He's a pretty good dog trainer, and it's funny to watch. And started watching City on a Hill.
And what City?
Showtime series.
That was good. That Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
It was a good show. I watched that.
Yeah, I hadn't checked it out, and I just now saw it on Showtime, and I started watching it. I like it.
They keep pumping it before Your Honor every week. Go back and watch it. But they don't say anything about a new season.
I guess I need to get Showtime again. I'll find something to delete because I like Jonathan Tucker. He's a good actor. Kevin Bacon. I mean, that show, Caitlin loved it. I mean, it's in Boston, so.
In 1990. It's set in 1990, which I love, that whole aspect about it and the hair and the clothes and all that stuff. And Kevin Bacon is great as this anti-hero. Corrupt,
right?
Huh?
He's corrupt, isn't he?
He's corrupt, but he's also...
We do it this way, not that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, the bank... And the bank robbery aspect of it and all that stuff. And my staff pick is... Neil actually turned me on to this. It's called... You guys may have already seen this. They're called Bad Lip Readings.
The Yoda song with Luke.
Well, then we've been watching the Walking Dead ones.
Yeah. Oh. So,
my God.
Those are going way back, but they're fucking hilarious.
They're so funny. And I had never seen them before. And I never had heard you guys talk about it.
They kind of came and went. They're like, okay, the first one was that I got into. Where are they? Okay, Bushes of Love is the first one I ever saw. And that's Obi-Wan and Luke. And then the NFL bad lip reading one. These are from 8 years ago. That's another one. And I said, there's so many good ones. They've been around a long time.
I think the Walking Dead ones, though. Those are the ones I've been watching.
Hey, I'm going to go back and watch those because I don't remember ever watching those.
I put the link to the last. I love it how they have the zombies talking.
Yeah.
The zombies are. It just kills me. And the people that impersonate Rick and Daryl and all them, they do pretty good impersonations, too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think maybe. I remember you guys maybe talking about it years ago, but they hadn't done The Walking Dead at that point or something. But since they have, I don't know, The Walking Dead ones, they're so funny to me. But anyway, that's my staff pick.
Cool.
Those out.
Well, thank you guys. Listen, this is just an experiment that we're doing. We're going to break the show up 2 a week. Like we were saying, they'll come out Tuesday and Saturday on your podcatchers, wherever you listen to us. And, you know, things will go back and forth, but ideally we're going to do what we watched in Stat Picks the first show of the week. And then the second show of the week will be a little more open with, you know, freeform and talking about stuff that we're, you know, that's going on around us in the world, pop culture wise. And, you know, we'll have a little news and like I said, things will evolve and interviews and all that shit. So we appreciate you guys sticking with us. I believe we'll even be doing a new platform outside of Zoom relatively soon. So make sure you stay tuned for that. All right, guys. Don't go away because we're going to thank our sponsors at the end of this show. So until later this week, keep it canon. All right, now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year, so let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
Remember we all went out there when they opened, yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim. Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly. Oh, okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
Leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out. And that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them 2 extra years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices. If you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And you should totally do business with him. You're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime.
He should.
Back picks and shit and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. we'll figure it out. All right.